The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Peter, when he was walking on the water and he was falling through, his prayer was real simple. I think the Bible says, save me, but in essence, he's saying, help me. He's saying, help me. Help me, Jesus. And the song said, help me along the way. My God. Woo, God Almighty. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Help me, help me, help me, Lord, in my mind, in my body, my spirit. Help me. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are a way maker. You are a helper. You can do what only you can do. You can do the impossible. You can make the ordinary extraordinary. And so, Lord, it's to you, O God, that we come right now, the one who sits on the throne, the Almighty God, the one who was in the beginning before the beginning began. It's to you that we come just in case. And so, Lord, because we got to get a prayer through to you. We know that there's a prince of the air, but we ask you to rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need to get a prayer through to you. As a matter of fact, Lord, we come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy right now. Bless us, Lord, as only you can. Everyone up under the sound of my voice. Touch right now, heal right now, set free right now, deliver right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said and done in this place has been pleasing unto your sight. It's been as a sweet savor unto your nostril. But Lord, even now as we've come to this hour, we need to hear a word from you. Lord, all it takes is a word. We need you to speak a word right now into somebody's heart, mind, and spirit to help them along the way. Forgive us for our many sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. For Lord, our sins are many and all of our sins are against thee. But Lord, we thank you for victories. We thank you for helping us to overcome. And Lord, even when before we got brave, Lord, we had to act brave, just standing on your word to the manifestation of our breakthrough. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Even now, touch and deliver. And it's in Jesus' name, for Christ that we pray. Let every heart say amen. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you please do so. First Kings chapter 18. From whence the word of God will come. 1 Kings chapter 18 is from whence the word of God will come. I'll be reading this morning from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, I asked you to mark Genesis 26, but that's just for a reference toward the end of the message. But it all makes sense and tie together. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to a servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he, being the servant, said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, this time being Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I need to go back to verse 43 for just a moment. Elijah's up on the top of Mount Carmel, and the Bible says that he's praying. And he said to a servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked, God Almighty. And he said, "There's nothing." This morning, or this afternoon, for just a little while, we want to talk about a powerful topic and subject. We want to talk about when they said, "There is nothing." You may be seated in the presence of our God. Where they said, or where they said, I should say, it's where they said, "There is nothing, but there is a wind." My brothers and my sisters, we've all been there, and we've heard those faith-destroying words sent from the devil himself. "There is nothing. No money, no love, no hope, no chance. There is nothing." But God says, in that very same place, when you heard those words, "There's nothing, Miller," God says, in that very same place, "I can bring forth abundance." God Almighty. Ooh, Jesus. Woo! A little over 2 years ago, it seems, back in January of 2015, and really a couple times when I did my research in 2015, I preached from 1 Kings 18. January of 2015, I preached from the passage of 36 through 45, and the subject was, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Then I believe it was in October of that same year, I believe earlier in the chapter of 1 Kings 18, the Holy Spirit put it on me that where there's no altar, the people falter. Well, once again, the Holy Spirit has sent me back to this passage, but for a fresh look, not for a rehash. Come on, somebody. This is fresh manna from heaven. Amen. A fresh look, a fresh revelation for us today. So I need to say that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Amen. By now, you know the story. Israel is being ruled by a wicked king named Ahab. He has not only led Israel away from God into idolatry, but you remember he's also married to Jezebel. And together as a unit, they led the children of Israel into deep rebellion and false worship. So God sent his prophet who would not be shaken, someone who would not compromise, to confront this spirit of wickedness and false religion. The name of the prophet, of course, is Elijah. And Elijah confronts Ahab and the false prophets of Baal, and he calls down fire from heaven. So now at this point, the people have repented, and the false prophets have all been destroyed. So here we are in our text. The prophet, the man of God, amen, has prophesied that rain is coming. The drought is over. He tells Ahab, in essence, he says, "Don't worry, be happy. The rain is on the way." Amen. So what does the Bible say that Ahab did? The Bible says that Ahab, he went to go eat and drink. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, the man of God has spoken the word. Amen. You ever feel that happy when you get the word from God? The Bible says he went to eat and drink. Ah, but Elijah, the Bible says, he went away to a place where he went to bow down, or he crouched down to the ground with his face between his knees. And he begins to pray, Sister Cargyle. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Sometimes when you're dealing with the word of God, Ahab went to play, but Elijah went to pray. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. Amen. 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 Truth be told. Can I tell you something? Truth be told, there are some miracles and some breakthroughs that have come your way because somebody prayed for you. Amen. Amen. There's some miracles and some breakthroughs that have come. Not everything that's come your way you prayed for. There's some stuff we didn't have sense enough. But thank God somebody prayed. Amen. Amen. Just about every miracle or breakthrough that we read about in the Bible, somebody prayed. Just before Lazarus was to come forth from the grave, the Bible says in the book of John, I believe John 11, where what the Bible says that Jesus stood at the foot of the grave, and the Bible says he looked up. He called God Father. And he said, thank you. Amen. Even while hanging from the cross, Jesus prayed for us. He said, Father, forgive them. God Almighty. Amen. 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 I don't know what you stand in need of today, but somebody has to pray. You may not be able to, but somebody has to pray. So the Bible says in our text, that Elijah goes to pray, but he takes his servant with him. So he sends his servant out to look toward the sea, to see if there's any evidence of a change coming. Teach this thing, Holy Ghost. He went to go see. Remember, he prophesied. So he went to go see if there's any change that's coming, if there's any sign that the rain is coming. And the Bible says that a servant came back with a bad report, Sister Keeling. He came back with an empty report. As a matter of fact, it could be looked at like a negative report. He comes back with nothing. He reports to the man of God. He said, man of God, there's nothing. Each time the servant leaves the man of God to wrestle with God. Have you ever had to wrestle with God? God Almighty, about something you believe that he has said to you? Good God Almighty, he leaves him to wrestle with God. Right about now, if I use my sanctified imagination, I believe that Elijah is searching the heavens. Have you been there? Searching the skies. He's looking for a sign. He's looking for some sort of evidence that God has heard his prayer. Have you been there? You're in the hospital room. You walk out the hospital room and you praying. You walk back in and you looking for a sign. Been praying all week, all month for a job. Just need a sign. And every time the phone rings, is this my call? Need a financial breakthrough. Fill out all the paperwork. You go before the banker and you're holding your breath and you think, is this the sign? Six times the report came back the same. There is nothing. Now look, there was no mistake in his words. You know how sometimes some folk tell us something, we say, are you sure? I mean, did you really mean what you said? No, there was no mistaking his words. They were clear. They were sharp and they were to the point. He went out, he came back. The report was, there is nothing. I have no doubt in my mind, Farish, that those words had an effect on Elijah. But can I tell you something? A true man or a true woman of God or a true man or a true woman of faith are not shaken
by what they see or even what they don't see. Amen. 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 Sometimes it's hard to see it even after God has said it. Amen. But a true man or a true woman of faith, they're not shaken by either what they see or what they don't see. So instead of becoming discouraged, Baal, instead of giving up, Elijah, in a sense, turns up the heat and he presses his request. In essence, he, in a sense, intensifies his prayer. What he does, Finley, is he takes the negative report as a challenge. Now, watch this. He doesn't challenge the servant. Sometimes we challenge the messenger. He didn't challenge the servant. What he did is he took it as a challenge to the word of God. I'm talking to somebody. Because he knew what God had told him. He knew. There was no doubt what he told him. God had told him to appear before Ahab and he would send rain. You don't have to announce it, but what is it? What is it that God has said or spoken to you that has yet to manifest? But even now, instead of you getting shaky and wobbly, that you need to stand boldly on the word of God. Amen. Elijah stands on the word of God. And finally, on the seventh time, his servant returns, but this time with a side note. Amen. He says, there is still nothing, but I saw a little cloud. Woo, teach, Holy God. He says that there's still nothing, Keeling, but I saw a little cloud size of a man's hand rising out of the sea. Now you gotta keep this thing in the text. You gotta keep it in the text. Six times now, he came back and said, there's nothing. And six times he was told to go back. So I imagine that even this time he was ready to hear the similar or the familiar words, go look again. But instead, the Bible says that Elijah jumped up, in essence, off his knees, and he sends the servant with some new instructions. He says, you go tell Ahab, hitch up his chariot. Y'all got to get this thing and go down off the mountain, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain, the sound of a downpour, if you will, a deluge, an extremely heavy, hard rain. This is the fresh revelation that God has sent me here today to speak to somebody. I don't know where you are, or what you're going through. And I don't mean where physically. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking in your mind. That's the fresh revelation that God has spoken to me and my spirit, God Almighty. But that he also gave it to me to speak to you and prophesy to you. He sent me here to tell somebody in the place where they said there is nothing. In the place where they said there is nothing, God has said, I can bring forth an abundance. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what that means to you, but you do. You do. Somebody has heard those words, there is nothing. Not once, not twice, God Almighty, not three times, but over and over and over again. There is nothing. There's no money. There's nothing. There's no hope. There's no way. There's no love. There's no chance. There's no change. There's nothing left. There's nothing we can do. Those words are meant to signify the end. In other words, those words are meant to tell you, you can quit praying now. You can quit confessing now. You can quit believing. You can quit hoping. You can quit expecting. You can quit dreaming. You can quit looking. You can quit praising. You can quit worshiping. You can quit marching. But I come to tell you, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit believing. Don't quit confessing. Don't quit keeping God at his word, because in the same place where they said there's nothing shall come forth an abundance. Who's the they? They may have been your doctor. Who's the they? They may have been your banker. Who's the they? They may have been your lawyer. Who's the they? They may have been your family member. Who's the they? They may have been your friend. They may have even been your spouse. They may have even been religious people around you who are telling you to give up on your hope and on your dream, because they say there's nothing. It's never going to happen. And every now and then, we come away speaking like some folk we've been around. Be careful who you hang around. That stuff might get in your spirit. No disrespect to the servant. He was only reporting what he saw. Amen. But be careful, because that stuff can get in your spirit. Then you start talking like folk you've been around. And when somebody asks you, well, who said it? You said, that's what they said. And every now and then I can ask my kids, who's the they? And half the day is social media. Social who? Who's the they? They said there's nothing and it's never going to happen. But if you're taking notes, write this down, because I've come to remind you that it always gets the darkest just before the dawn. Who teach Holy Ghost? It always gets the darkest just before the dawn. Warfare surrounds the birth of a miracle. A woman never comes closer to dying than when she is giving birth. Just before your breakthrough, you might have to fight your greatest battle. I know. I hear you. Because you're saying in your spirit, you ain't saying it out loud, but some of you, it's on your face. Because you're saying, I can't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't have any evidence. Well, I may not have the evidence to show you right now, watch this, from a natural perspective, but I have the utmost faith and confidence in the God I serve and in the God that you say you serve. I have the utmost confidence in the word of God. His promises are yes and amen. And if God has promised it, if God has said it, listen, Peter fished all night. He fished all night and he caught nothing. But with one word, good God Almighty, with one word from Jesus, he went from nothing to abundance. The Bible says he went from nothing to overflow. He went from nothing to much. So much so, the Bible says he had to call his partners. He said, I need y'all to bring your boat. And the Bible says that both boats were overloaded with fish and blessings. Amen. So much so the boats began to sink. Someone needs to know today that your miracle, your breakthrough is closer than you think. Your healing is closer than you think. Your answered prayer is closer than you think. I know you can't see it, but you need to know that God works the night shift. He works the night shift, and sometimes he does some of his best work in the night seasons of your life. If you're taking notes again, write this down. Even when you can't trace his hands, trust his heart. I say it again, I say it again, I say it again, I say it again. I said, even when you can't trace his hands, trust his heart. And whether we can see it or not, the Bible's clear that all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Wait a minute. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Come on, somebody. Turn over quickly. I want you to see something here to Genesis chapter 26. I'm really almost through. That's why y'all can't turn your clocks back too far. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all said, wait a minute. You should be just getting started by now. Mm-mm. We about to wrap this up. You're going to have to get the CD. Genesis 26. There are too many verses for us to put on the screen. There are too many verses. I want you to see the chapter. Genesis chapter 26. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this. I'm going to summarize it real quick. In this passage, Isaac was dwelling in a land stricken with famine. It was stricken with famine. That means no rain, severe drought, no crops. It was a desolate place, and it was in horrible condition. But Sister Keeling, he thought to try to go to another place. He wanted to go and look for better conditions. He wanted to go and look for a better environment, maybe some better weather or some better soil. But the Bible says he wanted to go, but God said no. Hootie, Holy Ghost. Bible said he wanted to go, but God said no. As a matter of fact, if you got your Bible open in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says that God says, I want you to live in the land which I shall tell you. He said, dwell in this land, and I will be with you. Watch this. Bless you and your descendants. Woo, Jesus. In essence, God tells Isaac, he says, stay here and sow your seed right here. Oh, Jesus. Where there's nothing. Woo, y'all ain't getting this thing. He says, stay right here. And I want you to sow your seed where there is nothing. Now, I have got to stay with the text. I have no doubt that Isaac was probably criticized and ridiculed. No doubt that he might have been called foolish for wasting his seed in a drought-stricken land. Have you ever had to tell somebody want to know what you're doing, and you're just trying to say, I'm trying to do the work of the Lord. Somebody want to know what you're doing, and you're trying to say, I'm trying to do it because God said, this is what he told me to do. The Bible says he was sowing seed in a land that was stricken with famine. But the Bible says that Isaac obeyed the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 12 that he sowed his seed. God Almighty. He sowed his seed in that land where there was nothing. And there came forth an abundance. He reaped in the same year 100-fold in the very place where they said, good God Almighty, that there was nothing. The Bible said he did what God told him to do in the place where they said there's nothing. The Bible said that he reaped a hundredfold. I simply come to tell somebody who's looking for a better place, who's looking for a better way, who's looking for a better environment, who's looking for some more favorable circumstances. Too many of us say, if I didn't live here and I lived there, if I didn't drive this but I drove that, if I didn't work here but I worked there, if I didn't go to church here, but I went to church there. Come on, somebody. If I didn't have him, but I had her. Amen. Or I didn't have her, but I had him. Do you know how y'all talk? Come to tell you to hold on. Because in that place in your mind, that place in your spirit, that physical place, that emotional place, that psychological place, in that place where they said there is nothing, when they said there is nothing more we can do, God can bring forth life. God can bring forth an abundance. I know, I'm a witness, I'm with you. I know that it's hard to keep marching when there is no visible evidence of change. I know that it's hard to keep tithing and sowing your seed when you're in a financial famine. I know it's hard to praise God for healing when your body is racked with pain. I know it's hard to stay positive when everything you see is negative. I know it's hard to believe God for rain when you've been in such a long drought for your season. I know it is. But I've come to tell you. Because drought means scarcity. It means lack. Deficiency. It means empty. It means dry. It means want or need. You might be in a spiritual drought right now. You haven't stopped coming to church, but you're saying it's been a long time since I felt the presence of God. God Almighty, I haven't felt God for a long time. Your spirit is dry and your spirit is empty. It may be a drought, scarcity in your finances. It may be a drought in your relationship. It may be a drought in your health. You've been in a long, hard battle. You're exhausted. Worn out. You don't feel like you can fight one more day. I'm talking to somebody. You're empty right now. But I've come today to merely speak a word. It's a modern day prophet. To speak a word of faith, hope, and expectation in your spirit. I want to encourage somebody today to lift up your arms and your hands right now and thank God that your drought is breaking. Where they said there is nothing, God Almighty, you've heard all the negative reports. You've heard all the discouraging words. You've heard all the dream killers and the dream assassinators. You've heard the weather report. There's no relief in sight. There's no relief in your forecast, Elijah. They said the drought is going to continue, but just like Elijah. Might be a room full of us right now on both sides of the coin. We know what God has said, but we don't see the evidence. But just like Elijah, we might need to tune into a different frequency. We might have to shut down some of that chatter. We might have to shut down all of that other discussion and stuff. Just shut it down. Amen. Amen. Because the heavens forecast is actually predicting an abundance of rain. Elijah, standing in the very place where he heard the words, "There is nothing." He says, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." God Almighty. In other words, it's already been released. Ooh, Jesus. It's already been released in the heavens. In other words, it is on the way. And that's all I've come to tell somebody. That's all I've come to tell somebody. It is on the way. Your prayers have not been in vain. Your praise has not been in vain. Your sowing has not been in vain. Your faithfulness, your obedience has not been in vain. Let me say it one more time. In the very place where they said, whoever they are, in the very place where they said, "There is nothing," shall come forth an abundance. So right now, I need somebody to start praising God like you believe heaven's weather report. Amen, amen, amen. Where they said, "There is nothing." Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Gloria. Do you believe heaven's weather report? Amen. In the very place where they said, "There is nothing," you say, you heard the word of God, that there's an abundance. In these days and times that we are living in, it's a struggle sometimes to keep up the struggle. But you've heard me say it before, and I say it again. Whenever you tell somebody you're struggling, I say that's good news, because you haven't stopped fighting. There's still some fight in you. Amen. But sometimes the struggle is a struggle, and we get tired. We get tired of hoping, and we get tired of holding on. Because we just don't see it. And so we say, "I prayed." And then we run to the mailbox. We say, "I prayed." And then we run to the phone. We say, "I prayed," and we're expecting to hear. We're looking for the letter that said, "You've been accepted. You've been hired." The report was negative. We didn't find anything. That's what you were hoping. But while you're waiting, I've heard it said that sometimes in the meantime can be a mean time. But I need you to know that none of us have made it this far on our own. And even when you said that, "I don't know what to pray for," or "I'm not even sure that my prayers are even reaching heaven," you're here, I'm here, we're here together because somebody somewhere prayed for us. Thank God. And even if it was that prayer for you was Jesus, we were all covered. Sometimes I go to the Lord, I say, "Lord, pray for me like you prayed for Peter. Just like you prayed for him about his faith being sifted." He said, "I prayed for you. Pray for me the same way." where they said, there is nothing. You stand tall and you stand strong on the word of God. The doors of the church are open. Amen. The doors of.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.